We want to build a community and share other women's stories.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Tea with Tea. This is the She Who Leads series, and this season we're shining the spotlight on women in technology. And I am so excited to start with a really fantastic leader who has recently joined a business called Gempet, but she has got an exceptional story to tell. So, Charisma, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you here.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Terry, for having me here today. I'm Charisma Glassman. I'm a senior partner, vice president of global retail advisory at Genpact. We are an advanced technology solutions company based out of New York City and our server clients globally. I'm excited Amazing. To be here today and have to chat with the audience and Terry.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure. Just so everybody can get to know you to begin with, do you mind just giving us a bit of career background and how you've shaped your path to date?
Awesome. Yes. So I say, you know, all those who wander are not lost. So that has been my personal and professional motto. I've been very fortunate in my career to have very different paths and not a traditional path to success. And so I say career paths are not traditional. It's like a bouquet of experiences. That's the analogy. I'd like to use it for myself, and that would be my advice for listeners, whosoever is listening on any platform. So my background really started in traditional advertising companies. I come from four generations of advertisers. My family background's all advertising and marketing. Dinner conversations were always opened up businesses in Asia, in APAC, in Latin America, and globally in Europe as well. And then my career kind of led to more digital marketing side of the world. So I kind of got into the digital computer aspects. I was one of the few early people who went to London and started in e-commerce. This is early 2000s around the dot-com boom. And then it kind of started pivoting towards more technology as marketing started becoming more tech. So mm-hmm. I got into more tech roles. Then it became more customer experiences. And so now, you know, over the last 24 years, I pride myself that I have had the whole career swing around the office of the CMO, the chief digital officer, the office of the chief product marketing officer. So I've worked with many great leaders, sponsors and mentors and bosses and managers. And today I help world's top retailers design their customer experiences as well as drive efficiencies and values across their businesses and help lift the businesses across the world.
Amazing. And do you feel like that was the vision when you went into your career? Obviously, talking about your family being in the same kind of media and world as well. Was this the plan where you are now?
I think I had a North Star in mind. I wanted to know. I always knew I wanted to be a CEO of a firm.
Yeah.
But I kind of did not know the path to it. So I'm still, I say, every job, every role, every opportunity we take teaches us a lot about what is next. I've taken those learnings seriously. I take my roles very seriously. So at the time, to answer your question, I did not know where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, very early on, I kind of knew this is my North Star.
Yeah.
How is kind of been very fluid. But when I truly believe in what Steve Jobs said in his 2005 speech at Stanford, when you look back, the dots will start to connect.
Yes. And it's sometimes you don't realize how that's playing out, right? You're just on the journey and kind of thinking, how did I end up here? But they do, and I'm sure they do connect at some point. You've talked a little bit about this, and I really think it's quite key, because a lot of the exceptional leaders like yourself that come on to She Who Leads, it hasn't been through a case of not putting themselves in that position. It's like really, obviously, you kind of advocate for yourself in terms of your own ownership and to get to that point, versus obviously the employer helping you along to that point. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, you're your own most important and the best advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So especially in women, we're very shy. And also some of our male colleagues are slightly introverted. How can somebody else tell your story better than you can? However, I do say we have to be humble about it and come across as more, humbly, I have done this rather than I have done this before, in a more arrogant way. I take a more humble approach. However, I think that we are our best PR agents. We are our best advocates. And if you're not advocating it for yourself, allyship with the people who are advocating for you in the rooms you are not there, then you're not being justice to your career and your experience.
So true. And it's honestly, it resonates for every, especially every female leader, I think, in who's in, no matter what industry you're in. It's like, actually, if you're not trying to advocate for yourself, these things don't naturally come always. So it's an important lesson to share, I think. Thinking about your wider career and obviously the twists and the turns and from where you started to where you are now, what's the biggest piece of learning that you've had along the way?
Many learnings along the way. I would just say one thing, if I have to look back 24 years, is make relationships the key. Be nice to people on the way up, because these are the same people you meet when you go down. The careers are like a hill or a
So
mountain.
true.
Not every titles are rented when you're on the top as you're climbing. So I try to give back in terms of advice or time or showing up to events as much as I can and my calendar allows, be nice to clients. I was in the client side, then I became a consultant. Then, I interact with clients who are now colleagues and peers and who knows, in my future managers. But the world is really round, and I would just say I know I understand the pressures, or I understand the pressure to deliver numbers. I understand we live in a very volatile VUCA 2.0 world, and have to lead with conviction, curiosity, and courage. But at the same time, it doesn't stop you from being kind.
No, it doesn't. And I th that means, can I just add that I was talking, Charisma told me about a book, and then she sent me the book on Audible, which is so kind. So she really does live true to those values. And it's so true. I think it's really important that you take people along on the journey with you, regardless of where you're at in terms of hierarchy and vice versa, because it does come around, doesn't it? And those people that you think I'll never see them again, you probably will. So it's
Absolutely.
yeah,
And I
it's
do it
definitely.
without anything expectation in return. And I hope people pay it forward, especially from a female executive to another. And Terry, I sent you that book, but I really meant it, for the audience. It is called The Broken Rung, written by four McKinsey consultants, who are all females who really believe in building, for female executives, how to build experience capital and talk about her experience from that perspective.
I think we don't do enough to lift each other women up as opposed to just helping everybody else along. I think it's okay, what can I do to help you and vice versa? And I really am grateful for you sending that. And I think hopefully the audience will enjoy the book too. It led me to my next few features in terms of thinking about equity and equality on LinkedIn, because it's you just don't pay as much attention, I don't think, to all layers when it comes to thinking about women in leadership and how we can actually help fix where we are today.
Absolutely. I try to do a lot of lunch and learns. I keep, especially women in tech, are you're outnumbered very quickly. Also, women in finance. So when I see a peer, colleague, or any levels agnostic, I reach out and say, "Hey, if you need anything, you just want to vent sometimes. There's a lot of pressure. Just call me."
That's amazing. That's really nice. And as you say, so much as the diary allows, right? It's you can do so much, but also you have a big role to do. Is there a part of your role where you get real sense of satisfaction?
Many parts of the role. I take leadership very seriously. I feel like I want to develop people leadership skills. And so that is part that is very satisfying, is you're making an impact through people as you grow in your career. It's not about your individual contribution that really matters. You, even CEOs in the C-suite, you're always leading through people and enabling the talent. So the talent part of it is very close to my heart and leadership style. I believe in, I do not want to be in rooms where I am the smartest and age hire A's. So my leadership team, my advisors, I keep very, very diverse set of thought, diverse by thought advisors around me. And then I keep myself very honest, and I would say, hey, give me, don't just say yes, because it's very easy for people to say yes to all the time. In a one-on-one setting, I'm happy to be challenged in a positive way and kind of bounce around my hypotheses or biases if I have any, because all of us have blind spots. So talent, hire the right people, goals, and very quickly get out of their way.
And again, I think there's still learning to be had there, right? Some people will hire, but what can't let go of those reins, or it's a thing that where, oh, you can't, I can't do that because they'll be seen to be better than me. Same as the whole kind of lifting women up. I think sometimes do it to a point until it's pushing you out of it's making them uncomfortable. And so I think it's one of those things where it's like, look, actually, we all win if we do this, not just me and not just you.
And absolutely, I do not want my team to be less smart than me. In fact, we are impacting the clients. They have to be on top of their game. I take a lot of pride hiring the best talent on the market.
It's well, talent, people are your engine, right? Essentially. So it's so important. A lot of, I guess, female leaders and particular leaders in general have typically had somebody help them along the way. Have you got mentors or sponsors that you utilize, or how have you kind of how do you bounce those ideas off people, I guess?
Absolutely. I would say four quadrants: mentors, sponsors, allies, and advisors. So I put people in four quadrants. It's this person, and typically those lines of Laurie, but I try to put them in different buckets. And it's not that conscious or so transactional that I'm mentally putting everybody in a bucket, but somehow they manifest themselves. A mentor is just for advice, sometimes so somebody could be outside your industry, if you will. They would talk about your leadership style, how you show up, how you think you show up, and how people perceive you show up. More like a very distant view of who you are as a leader, how you're making an impact based on what they're reading about you, how your interactions have been over the years. Sponsors are somebody who lift your career up. They would be probably male, female, or any other gender who are in your organization or in your industry and have been through your career path. And somebody you look up to can be a sponsor to go to the next level or take a career jump or take a career change. Advisors are what I say, my personal board of advisors. Professional life is not isolated. You do have personal life that comes along with it.
Yeah,
So my
so true.
personal board of advisors are my some of my college classmates from Harvard and Columbia that I went to school with, and people who have stuck around as I'm taking a career move or taking a personal move. Those are my personal board of advisors on some of the life-changing decisions I have made, and so on and so forth. And allies, I would say, been the most impactful in my career growth. They are my peers, my subordinates, my mentors, my even allies are male allies. And like I mentioned, the female executives are outnumbered. Some of my best career decisions and jumps have been made because of my male allies and bosses. So thank you for your allyship, and thank you for passing it on to other females in your.
Exactly. And it shouldn't be one or the other or one against the other. And it's not what we're trying to achieve, right? But it's that whole conversation around equality versus equity. And naturally, equality hasn't been at the same as somebody for women for a long time. But I think we're slowly getting there and we're slowly having the same opportunities. But it's allies definitely help, and we need all the types of allies that we can get along the way. I think it's so key.
Absolutely. And there's a long way to cover inequality and equity. I know there's a lot of chatter about it. We have a long way to go, because I'll quote you something that's happened this morning. So it's so fresh in my mind. Women, female executives, and this is not about male or female, it's just executives, you do not have to be the loudest voice in the room to make a point. We just do not speak enough confidently. So we are thought to be less machismo. So the other person in the other room's like, oh, she's not confident. It's not true. She just do not want to be, you do not want to be arrogant about it, but you can still make a point in a very confident manner. So this is where your allies come into play and help you give opportunities based on who you are and who you can be.
It's so true, and sometimes not being the loudest person in the room means that unfortunately you're not as well remembered, but it doesn't mean that you didn't contribute. And actually, your contribution can still be heard even though you don't have to constantly speak. I think
Absolutely.
it's a quiet confidence, right? It's a different thing.
Quiet leadership is a whole topic.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think again, it's something that we have that everybody's kind of had programmed into them. It's actually if you speak loud, then we can all hear you, so you're more confident. But it's not the case, and it's like the lion and the mouse, right? And the lion looks up to the mouse because the mouse has got the confidence to talk about what they're thinking. So it's an interesting dynamic, and I think one that we can't solve overnight. But I think if people are mindful, then hopefully we can. But equally, if you've got those allies that say, actually, Harry contributed X and charisma was talking about Y, like at least you've got somebody that's there supporting you in the background that you can't always do for yourself either. You're not always in those rooms to be able to do that. Thinking about the harder side, obviously, to get to where you are has probably not been easy. And I think you've probably had lots of bumps along the road. But are there any that are stand out just in terms of learning? I think it's nice to kind of realize that we all aren't perfect. What would you say stands out for you there?
The hard, it's a delicate balance between a yes and a no. So while my traditional coaching to my younger self has been, I've said yes to a lot of opportunities. And I would like to say thank you to my boss recently. He sent out an email, and I'm quoting him here. No is a full sentence. After you reach a certain level, you have to really guard your personal energy, your network. You're because then you have to be, you're not a doer, you're a thinker, and you're making impacts for other people. So you have to be really mindful of people or projects or things you have to say no to. Not be there for every dinner, every social,
So true.
every cocktail, every working evening. You have to be very mindful, and you're not saying no out of arrogance, but you're saying no out of protecting for what's most important for you. So say yes to opportunities, but no to like be very no to things that do not matter in the long run, and have that balance and do a very critical calendar check. Put your energy fiercely.
And try not to feel bad about it, right? Because I'm a yes person because I feel guilty.
No.
Always.
You have to say yes to a lot of things, but you have to say no to a lot more.
Since I've become a mum, I feel like I have no choice. Because I don't have the energy. I physically cannot be doing all of the things that I used to do from a social networking perspective for work. I can't. But it's hard to accept that, I think, sometimes, and say, do you know what? For everybody around me, I need to say no.
And that's beautiful. By the way, congratulations on
Thank you.
motherhood. It teaches a lot about leadership and selfless love. And you don't have to practice selfless love by being a mother. I am not a mother. I'm a good partner, I feel. I can say that. But there is selfless love there too.
Oh, 100%. And I think even for the work that you do and the teams that you lead, I think it really can stem from that. I think there's so much that we do for others that's equally important. It's not just motherhood, for sure. Family too. It's a big part, isn't it? I think this is a contentious topic, and it's one that I talk about often with my friends, and also at work. I think we often kind of have this debate, but do you think it's possible to have it all?
Define depends on how do you define what all is. And the goalpost keeps moving, my friend, every year. Not only your professional goals, but your career aspirations. There was somebody who posted, he's a CDO of a very large CPG company, a good friend of mine, and also an ally. And he posted something on LinkedIn saying that, remember, today you are where you wanted to be 5 years
So
ago.
true. And we
So
forget that though, right? You're just so caught up in the today that actually, if you looked back on yourself 5, 10 years ago, you think, oh my gosh, made
made it
it.
far beyond. So the goalpost keeps moving. So can you have it all? I would say depends what all means to an individual. Am I having it all? Probably not yet. I mean, I would say that my goalposts, I'm very aspirational, so my goalposts keep moving every year. Well, if you ask my partner, my husband, he's very grounded. He's very satisfying, and he's very satisfied with his life. I'm very jealous. And he says, I'm having it all. So maybe he isn't
Oh,
what.
that's
Certain years
nice.
I do and he doesn't. So it depends on years and the time of life you're in.
That's really nice. Do you, just on that, and you've obviously said the goalposts keep moving. Are you someone that actively sets goals at the beginning of a year? Do you keep up with them? Like, what, how do you work in terms of thinking about your own goals?
So I have this beautiful analogy, like I just say, about my life in general and how I like to lead and how I live my life. Think of like a picture. So it has a thin frame, and I have one like that in my living room, and that has a beautiful canvas. So I like to set goals like the frame. I know my boundaries, like where I want to go, and I have like, oh, I want to achieve X, Y, Z. These are the 4 or 5 goals I want to hit this year, personally, professionally, socially, whatever they are. And but then I don't like to overmanage and overcomplicate them. I would paint the picture as the year goes by with my beautiful canvas of experiences.
I
So,
love that.
yeah. So I have a structure. I know where I'm going, but I don't micromanage. And I still, by the end of the year, I have this beautiful picture of experiences that I've lived through the year that I can admire and be thankful by Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay, I love that. I need to think more like that. It's a good, and it saves you being set in rigid parameters that might not be achievable at that time. I understand that totally. If we're thinking about women leadership, the glass ceiling, we've talked about it a little bit already, but do we think we can get there in terms of equity versus equality? What are your thoughts around this, Charisma?
I think we can get there. I know we can get there. Some of the females, and there is so much about women in executive world that can be talked about, from particularly women of color, have a very different kind of glass ceilings as some other demographics, if you will. But if you have the right education, you may have to be willing to put in some extra work. But be very mindful of allies, advisors, sponsors, and mentors, the four quadrants I talked about. You can be there. I feel that the journey is a little bit harder. You may have to go of extra steps, maybe study a bit harder, put in a little bit more work, but there is a lot of progress. I'm a glass full kind of person, so a lot of progress have been made, but there are miles to go before we sleep as well.
Yes, absolutely. It's I really enjoyed obviously the broken rung, and I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I do think it's quite key for people to have a look at that, because actually there's certain things that everybody can do to try and aid women getting to a certain point in their careers and then helping them to continue to go further. Because I think we lose sight of that somewhere along the way, don't we? Still at the moment, unfortunately, which is a shame.
Yeah, and also I would say that let's not also I don't suffer from a victim syndrome there. So if I have two people saying no to certain things about being in a certain room and they're there every day because I don't look like a man or talk like a man or whatever, but there are 8 others who are willing to invite me to a table I've never been invited to. So I don't personally suffer from any victim syndrome. home or feel victimized that I was not. I would go find the 8 other allies, sponsors, mentors, advisors who would work with me than who do not want to.
Yes, so true. And I don't, and that's the thing that I think we want. We don't want it to be we're the victims. We just want it to be more of a level playing field, right? But I think it's the understanding that hopefully everybody wants to be feeling like that and to help to make the change. And I'm just grateful for you coming on here and sharing your story, because I do think these stories help with inspiration and in helping to help women understand what potentially they might want to go on to do. Thinking about that and your career and obviously this legacy that I'm sure no doubt you will get to your CEO role and there will be a legacy that you leave behind. But what is it in your mind, both professionally and personally, that you would like to be known for?
I would like to be known as a good empathetic leader. I understand there is value creation that a successful CEO is known for, but I would like to be known for somebody who has done that and kept people along, brought people along the way. Because at the end of the day, I understand AI, I understand agentic, but empathy is what we take along after our careers end. And relationships are very important. Like I mentioned earlier in our chat, these are the people, same people that you will see up while you see going down. So if you want to remember Charisma after Charisma has ended her career, I hope that's not anytime soon, is that she was an empathetic leader who created immense value.
Well, just from knowing you, I think you've already achieved that. So you can hang up your shoes. But honestly, from just the interactions that you and I have had, I think you're a fantastic leader. And thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story. I have no doubt that you will go on to achieve this CEO position. I think you'll be fantastic when you do get there. But obviously, there's some more road stepping stones along the way to take you to that point for sure. But thank you so much, Charisma. It's been a pleasure. I'm really grateful that you joined us.
Thank you very much for having me today.